Okay, good morning, everybody. Yay. Nice to see you all. We will begin by greeting one another on the board. I'm playing my own music this morning, so it's throwing me off a little bit. But Dawn, I say I'm playing my own music, but do you mind playing our opening song while we greet one another? All right, that'll be great. I'll let you do that.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate you playing that. It's nice to see everybody here, see all the names and where you're from and what you're doing and how the weather is. So I'll start with what my order of service tells me to start with, which is our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And the core value, the same one that I'm always talking about when I'm here on Sundays, the core value most pertinent to this discussion is core value number 3. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. That takes us to our announcements. Our first announcement, please join us tonight for Movie Watchers Group at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. This month's movie is Revolver. While to the casual observer, this seems to be a crime thriller, involving gangs, violence, gambling, cocaine trafficking, a high-stakes heist, murder, and revenge, it is actually one of the best films ever made about letting go of ego and awakening to pure, undisturbed peace. It has even been called the formula to enlightenment. You still have time to watch it this afternoon. When you watch it, we recommend that you use the subtitle feature so that you don't miss anything. There's a play sheet available for the movie. The play sheet is, of course, designed to help you have a spirit-centered movie watching experience. So to find the play sheet, go to Read and then Awakening Together News, and look for the announcement of the movie under that tab. The movie's available on Crackle, which is Sony Crackle. It's a free way to watch movies with a few ads sprinkled in, but you can look for it on Crackle. You can look for it on Vudu, on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube. It's also available if you care to watch it that way. John Mark Stroud has it on his website, onewhowakes.com, of course, with John Mark's commentary. So, but watch the movie this afternoon if you haven't already, and then come back and discuss it with us tonight. It's a lot of fun doing this movie discussion group in this new format where we can all see each other and kind of, you know, we can all unmute our mics if we want, interrupt if we want, and politely, of course. But it's just a different experience now with this new Zoom format. So come join us for that. Even if you don't get a chance to watch the movie today, even if you don't get a chance to come to movie group tonight, watch that movie. It is dynamite. All right, I'm done with that. Next, I want to tell you about, our next class, which is Introduction to the Tao Te Ching. That class is 4 weeks long. Let me tell you about the Tao Te Ching. It's a Chinese spiritual classic. according to tradition, it was written, let me get a drink. It was written around the 6th century by Chinese sage and governmental record keeper Lao Tzu, or Tao means the way. De means virtue or inner strength, and Ching means great book or classic. So when we translate Tao Te Ching as the great book of the way's virtue. However, virtue in this context does not refer to virtue as humans typically understand it. In fact, if humans really understood, embraced, and lived the virtue of the Tao, appearances like conflict and lack would be impossible. We're going to offer two classes, one on Tuesday afternoons from 2 to 4 Eastern Time, beginning on February the 12th, and another on Thursday afternoons from 1 to 3 Eastern Time, beginning on February the 14th. So to learn more about the Tao Te Ching and to register for that class or one of those two class sessions, please go to our website and look under the Retreats and Classes menu. Our next announcement. Awakening Together will be offering our second retreat at the Awakening Together Retreat House in La Vida, Colorado. Join us for the Natural Meditation Retreat, which is February the 18th through the 22nd, led by Reverend Regina Dawn Akers. At this retreat, you will learn to focus on the I Am presence to the exclusion of all else, as taught by Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj and his guru, Sri... Dawn's laughing because she's made this announcement. Sri Siddhartha Meshwar Maharaj. Anyway, Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj's guru, right? Using guidance provided through Nisargadatta's teachings, you will determine the difference between the I Am presence and the ego. You will observe how the ego attempts to distract you from the I Am presence. And you will learn to ignore the ego's distractions so you can follow the direct path to awakening as Nisargadatta did. You will have ample opportunity for meditation, contemplation, and journaling on your own, as well as spending time in group instruction, meditation, and discussion. For more information about our second retreat at the Awakening Together Retreat House in La Vida, Colorado, for more information and to register for that retreat, please look on our website under Retreats and Classes. And finally, join us next Sunday, February the 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for a special member meeting. The focus of this meeting will be an introduction to the new Awakening Together discussion forum. This forum is designed to be a place where members can exchange information This the forum will be a place where we can share our contemplation on specific teachings. We can share links to and information about videos we've seen, about books we've read, new music, movies, and whatever we'd like to share. It's just designed to be a place where we can really get together and do that sort of thing. The forum will include special sections for members, for ministers, and for MPP students. You should note that the forum will be used extensively in General Healing Year 3 and will also be used as for discussion for the other gentle healing classes. We recommend that you come to the special member meeting so you can become familiar with how to use the Awakening Together discussion forum before General Healing Year 3 begins. Also, at next Sunday's member meeting, we'll introduce a new monthly sharing called Reflections from the Retreat House. Those who've recently attended the self-inquiry retreat will be given an opportunity to share about their experiences, their insights, their inspirations. And again, this is going to be a regular monthly program, but this is a portion of the special members meeting is designed to be an introduction to that, give you a little taste of what that's going to look like. Yeah, it's a real important meeting tonight, that special member meeting. So please join us so you'll know how to use the forum. And again, I do want to really, really thank Jay McCormick, who has worked so hard on the forum, and Aggie Michowski, I think is how you say it. But Aggie has worked tirelessly for hours and hours and hours on making this forum a reality. So, yes, I want to take this opportunity to thank her, and I'm really excited to show you all next week at our member meeting what this forum is all about. And at this point, we are going to have a opening song. It will be really helpful to me to be able to change gears here a little bit. So let me figure out how to make that happen.
It was a while ago, faced with some obstacles that I wrote a song. Well, it's more of a prayer. And I'll give you the first a few lines, and then Neil Larson on the Hammond B3 and the Webster will unfold the song. If it be your will that I speak no more and my voice be still as it was before, I will speak no more. I shall abide until I am spoken for, if it be your will. If it be your will that a voice be true from this broken hill, I will sing to you. From this broken hill, all your praises they shall ring. If it be your will to let me sing. If it be your will to let
Wait, I'll get it. All right, I'm back. A whole new dimension here, playing my own music. Let's take a moment for prayer. And my prayer is that I'm just really open enough to see what needs to be seen and to hear what needs to be heard so that I can assist others in doing the same. I just want to express my gratitude for the grace that has allowed me to see my heart's true desire, and gratitude for the opportunity to share my journey with others. Amen. Sherry, it's so nice to see you. You're front and center on my screen. So, hey. Yeah, it's been a while. Okay. I was just looking at, sorry, you get to see my eyes real big. I was looking at the chat. Yeah. So the member meeting is not until next week, February the 3rd at 8 o'clock. Yeah, but at that same time tonight, we're doing the movie. So come join us for that.
NTI 1 Peter chapter 4. Man walks in fear without knowing what it is that he is fearing. He makes decisions to avoid his fear, only he cannot turn away from that which he cannot see. Because he is blind to it, it follows him. Because it follows him, he continues to run and hide. Fear is a misperception. It is a misperception because there is nothing to fear. What man runs from is his imagination, and in his running, he imagines more. This is what Jesus taught as a man from the cross. There is nothing to fear. This is a lesson you have become ready to accept. To live without fear is to live without imagining. This is to stay in the now and in the heart of true desire. By keeping the mind in the now and in the true purpose of know thyself, there is no imagining, and there is no imagining of fear. Whatever fear seems to come over you, ask, what am I doing now? You will see that you are imagining, and that you are imagining fearfully. Remind yourself that in imagining fearfully, you are creating your own misperception. Be willing to let go of this activity, and the action of creating fear is letting go by you. Is let go by you. Fear is an action verb. By ceasing the action of participating, you cease the action of fear. This you can do by letting it rise over you without your participation. Return your mind to the current moment and the purpose of the true desire of the heart. In this way, you return your mind to love. A mind in tune with love cannot know fear, because fear, which is not real, is the opposite of love, just as unreality is the opposite of reality. Fear comes from judgment, which is also imagination. But it is imagination you have declared real. This is where you must stop and learn the difference between what is real and what is unreal. Unreality is illusion, and illusion is everything that you experience now. There is nothing that you experience within the mind of you as a person that is real. Every thought that comes from the mind of the person is misperception, because the belief that you are a person is the greatest misperception of all. You are not a person now, and you have not been a person before. There is no person from this lifetime or any other lifetime that you must let go of, because there has never been a person. There has only been the thought of persons, and the thought of persons is not real. You have judged the thought of person as something that is real and separate from God. You have judged the person as having life that is cut off from life, and so it cannot survive. You have placed your mind within this person and said, "This is all that I am," and that you have limited yourself to your judgment. This is why you live in fear. The judgment of person you have deemed condemned, and then you have declared, quote, "I am no more than my own judgment," quote. But now I ask you to look at this thought with the eye of reality. One cannot place judgment on all that he is, so he must not be limited by that which he has judged. I'll read that again. One cannot place judgment on all that he is, so he must not be limited by that which he has judged. What does this mean? It means that you believe in illusion, but illusion is not the truth of you. It means that you look on this perception, but you are the one that declares misperception true. You hate yourself for what you've done, but this is because you think you've done something real. I say, you have not done something real, nor are you the one that you think has done it. Step back from illusion and rest with me, for you are lost within a web of misperception. By letting go of what you think you know, I can show you what you do not see. And that's it.
Very grateful, Jay. Thank you. Jay, our soon-to-be Levita neighbor. Yay! All right. I'll tell you guys again. I'll whine for a minute and tell you guys again that I think, you know, and Jay was a great demonstration of that last time he taught. He's like, "I didn't prepare at all," which is good. But it's real. Again, I just want to tell you how funny it is, because I will sit down. I'll go, "Okay, well, you know, I gotta go in there with something to say, right?" Well, apparently not, because every time I try to do that, it just will not happen. So I have a few notes, but we'll see where we get to this morning. and really, what any of you who teach in this forum know is that, you know, the inspiration comes first. And then the reading will come for me. Then the reading comes. And hopefully it comes together from there. The point is, what I want to share with you this morning, I want to share because I am so excited about sharing it. Because I think just as First Peter chapter 4 tells us, this is the crux of the matter. I think that, you know, it's all fed right on time, because I think First Peter chapter 4 says exactly what the movie Revolver says. So the clues are all there. The breadcrumbs are all there. All we have to do is follow them. So let me tell you what I'm excited about. I am excited to say that I have discovered, I have been given a glimpse of the truth that I am not my thoughts. I am not my mind. And you know, the funny thing is that we have heard this, you know, every way from Sunday. We've heard it said again and again and again. You are not your thoughts. But just as with any fundamental truth, we really can't appreciate that. You know, it's like a light goes on. You hear something, and you go, oh, now I know what that means, that thing that I've been saying for 20 years or been reading in the Course for 20 years or whatever it is. Until you have a direct experience of that truth, even though you think you're hearing the words, you know, and I say you, but I mean me. Even though I think that I get it based on what I've read, what I've heard, what I've been told, until I really have a direct experience of that, there's no true appreciation for it. In fact, until I have that experience, I can't even begin to implement the strategies that I've been given for bringing that truth into practicality, for living my life with a focus on that truth. So it sounds a little bit like I'm rambling. because I'm trying to, now I'm taking a moment. The sound hadn't gone out. I'm taking a moment. Okay. Let's start with, First Peter chapter 4, and look at that, because it talks about this in the very first paragraph. It says that man, human beings, us, we cannot turn away from that which we cannot see. So, I'm sorry, I got distracted. I'm looking at Jay, because Jay's filling my screen here. So, hey, Jay. I don't know if that's any better. Now I'm looking at me. Yeah. So NTI, First Peter chapter 4 says we cannot turn away from that which we cannot see. So that's the first thing, is really seeing this in a way that's helpful. And we're like, yeah, I know I'm not my thoughts. I know I'm not the mental chatter. But the thing is we don't realize this to the extent that it can be helpful. You know, for those of you who have read Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul, or have taken the MPP class, he talks about this very clearly. And we all looked at this in general healing about the voice inside your head. Where we seem to get confused, I know that's not me. Where we seem to get confused is that we give this voice credence sometimes. We want to believe some of what the voice says because we believe the voice protects us. I can ignore the part where it's, you know, where it's ragging on me, where it's telling me, you know, I suck or whatever, right? But there's other stuff that it says that I really need to pay attention to. And why do I need to pay attention to this? Because I believe it is me. I believe it is me. If I don't listen to that voice, what keeps me safe? And you all saw me, you may have seen me last week, I had a balloon, it's kind of deflated now, which is good, yay! Sitting closer to the floor over here in the corner. The last couple of weeks I've had a balloon that I have used to, that I have used as a visual aid in reminding myself that the voice in my head is not me. I mean, what a radical thought. The voice that I seem to hear speaking in my head is not me. And it's when you can really get a sense of that, and what grace for me to be able to get a sense of that. I'm so, 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 so grateful. What grace when you can see that that voice is not you. When you can see that that voice is not you, you no longer have to listen to it. You no longer have to pay attention when it speaks. You can say, thank you very much. You don't have to march to its drummer. Okay, so let's look at what's going on with this. With this voice. This voice says, first of all, I am you. So listen up. And then it's going to say, I'm going to protect you. I've got your best interest at heart. So listen up. But the thing is, it doesn't think you are safe, this voice. This voice is trying to protect you from reality. So this voice is going to tell you how things need to be. And how you need to be in regard to the other things you find in your environment. And it's going to direct your attention to what it identifies as what might be unsafe. So it says, as it says here in 1 Peter chapter 4, what man runs from is his imagination. And in his running, he imagines more. So this voice is going to go, problem, problem. Okay, so the voice makes up the problem, right? Tells you what the problem is, and then tells you what you have to do to avoid the problem. None of which is true. This is exactly what's being talked about here. What you're running from is your imagination. And by continuing to run from it, by continuing to listen to the voice, you attempt to temper your experience. You're not in the experience if you're trying to ward off the problems that you might encounter in this situation. You know, we talk about the power of now and the power of presence and being in now and all of that. And what keeps us from being in the now? which is impossible, of course. But what keeps us from paying attention to being in the now? It's this voice. It's this voice and its problems. Okay, here's how you need to deal with this situation. I'm reading a book. It's a fabulous book called Soul Without Shame. Soul Without Shame is the name of the book. that says that the prime directive of the voice in the head is something must be done. Right? All the time, something must be done. There's no resting in that. There's no, let me sit back and see what's really happening. Let me sit back and see. And again, I have this beautiful vista out here, you know, the mountains and the prairie, and it's gorgeous here. But if I'm in my head going, oh my God, how do I sound? What do they think about how I sound? Where's my notes? And I'm not saying that there's none of that going on, all right? But if I allow myself to be distracted by that, I don't see the mountains in the background. I'm not in this moment. I'm not seeing your beautiful shining faces. No slowdown is possible. Yeah, Kathy says, yeah. You can't. You're marching to that drummer that goes, oh, there's a problem. Let's take care of it. Let me tell you how. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell me more. And you all have heard me say this before. Again, I have to emphasize the crux of this is understanding that ain't you. We only go, yeah, yeah, tell me more. We only jump up and whatever, I don't know, go check the phone because it rang, or because we think that voice is us, because we think that voice has our best interest at heart. That voice is the imagination that creates fear. I mean, if you knew this to the heart of your being, to the soles of your feet, if you knew this, would you listen to this voice? It's making it up. It's making it up. And again, the problem is we think there's some good things it's saying and some bad things. So I'm just going to listen to the good things. It doesn't work that way. You know, that's two sides of that coin. You can't be that voice sometimes and not be at other times. So what we do instead of slowing down, as Kathy pointed out, what we do instead of slowing down and just being responsive to this moment is we turn to the voice, we turn to ourselves, right? We think we're turning to ourselves. We turn to ourselves and we go, okay, what do I do now? NTI 1 Peter chapter 4 says to live without fear is to live without imagining. It's to live without listening to that voice. This is to stay in the now. Slow down. Be in the now. What's going on right now? By keeping the mind in the now and in the true purpose of know thyself, there is no imagining, and so there's no imagining of fear. Again, it says fear is an action verb. Fear doesn't exist until you say it does. Fear doesn't exist unless you're listening to the voice that is not you. Fear is an action verb by ceasing the action of participating. Yeah, yeah, tell me more. What do you want me to do now? Where should I go? Who should I write? Who should I call? Fear is an action verb by ceasing the action of participating, by no longer believing that voice has anything of value to share with you. That's how you cease participating. Fear is an action verb. By ceasing the action of participating, you cease the action of fear. This you can do by letting it rise over you without your participation. And see, this is what the voice tells you it's going to do. I'm going to keep you safe from fear. If you just follow what I say, you'll be safe. Well, without ever saying, oh, and by the way, I'm the one that created the fear in the first place. That voice does not have your best interest at heart. And maybe that's the key to seeing that it's not you. What this voice does is it constantly evaluates and assesses your worth as a human being. And then tells you what you need to do to be a better human being. This voice does not believe that, some notes here because I really like the way that it was said in this book, The Soul Without Shame. The voice does recognize the importance of essential human qualities such as value, strength, peace, compassion, will, kindness. It recognizes those as values, but it doesn't believe that we have those values innate in our being. That voice will tell you that you have to do something, that you have to gain something, you have to learn something, you have to behave in a certain way to embody those values. So it's going to tell you, you know what, well, here's what a kind person would do. Here's what a compassionate person would do. And clearly you're not in that category. So let me advise you on what to do so other people will see you as that way, even though we know you're really not like that. That's what mine tells me. Ooh, look at Anne. She's always so kind and thoughtful. Well, I just work harder at that. You know, subtext, you suck. Anne's kind, you're not. These qualities that we have, kindness, compassion, strength, will, these are inherent to who we are. It's only, see, again, it's the voice creating the problem. It's the voice going, you're not those things you're supposed to be. You know, just like it was out here going, ooh, handle this situation. Let me tell you how to do it. It's saying, hey, you're not these things. So let me tell you how to be them. But the way we experience this is judgment. It's self-judgment. It's self-rejection. So it's like, hey, I'm you, come here so I can love you, and smack, right? I mean, it draws you into its web, and then, you know, gives you the 1-2 punch. So you spend all your time feeling beat up, so you can't experience what naturally occurs in any given situation because you're so busy listening to the voice. This voice would say, you are not kind. This voice would say, you are not compassionate. And if you happen to do something kind or compassionate, well, that's just an exception. That's not really how you are. You have to really work hard to stay there. You know, it's absolutely the source of the I am bad thought. And it's not true. You think you have to listen to what it says. You think its judgments are accurate. And why? Well, it's me. I must know what I'm talking about. I must know the truth of me. It's not the truth. Um, The voice tells you it's going to identify your best interests. So your best interest is going to tell you are either form-based, ooh, I need this. If I get this, I'm going to be happy. Or it's going to tell you it's personality-based. Oh, if you become kinder, yeah, the world's going to be better, right? But you're never going to make it. I mean, there's always that flip side, that subtext. The voice C is going to say, I should be, and recognize that it talks in your voice, I should be kinder. I should be more considerate. I should listen more closely when people talk. I mean, whatever it is. It's got this image of what the perfect Jacqueline, the perfect Dawn, the perfect Cher looks like. And you're not meeting it. You're not meeting that standard. So you're going to spend all your time running, trying to catch up to what it says the standard is, but it will always and forever tell you you have not quite met that standard. So you're spending all your time running, trying to catch up. When the truth is, if you turn from the voice and focus on your true desire, your true nature, you will discover that these qualities are inherent within you. All you got to do is quit listening to the voice that tells you you're not, they're not. So, you know, we just spent a week in self-inquiry at the retreat house. there's a lot to say. It was a great retreat. Don't let my lack of words make you think otherwise. One of the questions to be asked is, who sees this voice? Who sees this thought? Kathy laughing. You know, is that my voice? Wait. How can that be? Is that voice me? How can that voice be me? I'm hearing the voice. Who's the one that hears the voice? You know, these types of questions help us separate ourselves from this thing that says, no, I'm you. Wait a minute. You can't be me. I see you. I also see the option to believe what it is you're telling me or not believe it. Wait, how could that be? Eckhart Tolle talked about in his awakening where he said something like, man, I just can't live with myself another day. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who's I? Who can't live with who? Is there more than one of me in here? If that voice were really me, I would not be able to step back and look at it. So again, fear is an action verb. By ceasing the action of participating, you cease the action of fear. This you can do by letting it rise over you without your participation. This is allowing the voice to just keep on, you know, doing its thing without marching to its dictates. This is allowing it to rise over you without participating in it. NTI First Peter says, judgment is imagination you have declared real. This is where you must stop and learn the difference between what is real and what is unreal. And listen to this again. There is nothing that you experience within the mind of you as a person that is real. Nothing. I see Kathy objecting. I don't know what she's saying. There is nothing that you experience within the mind of you as a person that is real. Every thought that comes from the mind of the person, every thought that comes from this, even if it's like, ooh, you did that so good, we'll have to put that in our list and be sure and do that next time there are people around so they'll see how great we are. I mean, you know, all of that, which we've been calling mind chatter, all of that is misperception. All of that is designed to ensure the belief in itself. So whose best interest does it have in mind? Itself's. Its best interest. The best interest of this voice is to keep this sense of self intact. That's the interest that it's designed to protect. That's it. And it's like, well, wait a minute. So let's look at our true desire. Wait. Our true desire is to know who we really are. So you can see how that's not in your best interest. That's designed to keep that voice that tells you what to do and what to think and what to be afraid of and how to behave. It's all designed to keep this intact, this sense of self intact. This sense of self doesn't actually exist. This self does not actually exist. You can see how this voice's interests are directly counter to what we come here every Sunday and every Wednesday and whenever we come in here, directly counter to what we're about. We're about learning the truth of who we are, and we can't see the truth of who we are if this is intact, if this sense of self is intact. That's all we can see. If we're running to the dictates of what this sense of self tells us to do, that's all we're ever going to see. We can gain a little bit more knowledge. We might ease our suffering a little bit, you know, but it's not what we're about. It's not what we're about. So why do we continue to listen to the voice, even though that's not what we're about? We're running from this fear. We're running from this pain. This voice says, if you run with me, if you do what I tell you to do, you don't have to feel that pain. And so that's where we give in. Ooh, what can I do to avoid this pain? What can I do? And the voice goes, I'll tell you what we can do to avoid our pain. That's why it says here, by ceasing the action of participating, you cease the action of fear. This you can do by letting it rise over you without your participation. Oh my God, what does that sound like? That sounds like sitting in the pain. Oh my God, anything but that. No, I want to wake up. Well, you can't go around. You can't avoid. It's through that pain. And as NTI has told us before, you realize when you sit in what feels like pain, when you sit in what feels like fear, you see, it's not going to kill you. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to kill you. So the willingness has to be, this hurts, but I'm willing to bear it so I can see the truth, despite the pain. This path is not about avoiding pain. That's what that guy's for. That's what this guy's for. And as long as your goal is to avoid pain, you're going to be right here with this guy. This one telling you what to do and when to do it and how to do it and what you ought to look like and what you didn't do and what you should do and what we know you're going to do in the future based on what you've done in the past. That's the voice that we run to every day. That's the script that we perpetuate, that we continue by listening to that voice. I want to also point out here from the reading, I know I'm sorry for running late. There is no person from this lifetime or any other that you must let go of, because there has never been a person. There's only been the thought of persons, and the thought of persons is not real. So you're like, oh, I have to become better. I have to not listen to that voice. We're still looking at the person. We're still going, oh, I got to let go of that person I was yesterday before I was enlightened. Right? Yeah. Regina notes, he hides behind your pain. Yeah. This guy that tells you, I'm you. This is what's got to be let go of. It says, and you're like, well, how can I become a different person? No, 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 no. And that's what this is talking about. There's no person you got to let go of. No, 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 no. All you have to do is quit believing that voice when it speaks. There's not this whole thing, this whole united thing that actually has to be let go of. You just got to quit participating. That's it. So then you go, this says, you've placed your mind within this person and said, this is all that I am. And so you've limited yourself to that judgment. Well, you know, I can't wake up because I'm not really very good at doing the exercises on a daily basis. Well, I can't wake up because as much as I'd like to be kind and compassionate, you know, that's just really not in my nature. I mean, we set up the limits. And we buy into them, and we go, what should I say? Oh, yeah, well, you know, we limit ourselves by keeping our attention focused on what that voice tells us we are, what we have to do to become better. And it ain't true, and it ain't you. I want to read where the title of this message came from. In a Ramana, as you might have recognized from How to Awaken from the Dream. So I'm going to read you a little bit of that. It says, the mind is always trying to not be here now. That is because I am here now. Truth is here now. Again, this voice is going to tell you, you cannot be in the now without my advice, because that way, oh my God, there's pain, there's danger, you can't just be in the now without knowing, you know, what to say next, how to be, you know, you have to turn to me to get that. But what you get when you quit listening to that voice, even for a moment, is you get to be in the now. So it says the mind is always trying to not be here now because it's scary. That is because I am here now. Truth is here now. That is also because the ego is dependent on script making for survival. Since the ego is not real, it must be made to be experienced. Who makes it? You make it. How do you make it? By giving it your believing attention. By running around doing what mind tells you you need to do to be safe, to be a better person, to not feel pain. The ego is dependent on script making for survival. Since the ego is not real, it must be made to be experienced. You make the ego through script making, through imagining, through believing that voice in your head, through believing that voice is you. You make the ego through script making, through imagining, which is thinking about the past and the future and circumstances which are not real. Here and now without thinking is death to the ego because it is not script making. It is script living. Because the script is being experienced, you witness it. You don't participate in it. It is script living because the script is being experienced and you seem to live within it. But script living is not script making. So here and now is certain death or ending to the artificial I that is ego. So script living is doing exactly what it told us here. Letting whatever comes rise over you without your participation, without trying to ward it off, without trying to protect yourself from the now. For all the great reasons that that this voice would tell you to need to do it. But the truth is, removing our attention from all the scare tactics, the problems, the solutions, all given by this voice, allows us to experience the now as it is. The now is the truth. The now is where we find ourselves. And by simply turning our attention away from the voice that we think is us, we get to live in and experience that truth. Again, what grace it is to learn that that voice is not you. So anything you can do, anytime you hear the voice talk to you, remember, it's not you. It's not me thinking about me. Does not have your best interests at heart. All right, guys, I'm out of time. I hope I said something that was useful. I love you all. I'm going to play a song now, which is probably going to take us right into our fellowship time. Dawn will post a link where you can make a donation. So let me play a closing song here.
That I belong to you. Whoa.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. I love you dearly, and stick around for our fellowship half hour that starts right now. Thanks, Jay, for reading. Thanks, Dawn, for all your help. Thank you, everybody. I'm done.